Welcome to the Beacon broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Continuing our study in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. We are pursuing the wise advice that the Apostle Paul gave regarding marriage and the broader principle of how to live a Christian life in the midst of difficulties. And this is in the chapter that has to do with marriage questions. And marriage questions are very much at the forefront of this section in verses 25 and following, where Paul continues to answer questions that have been given to him from the church in Corinth. And the one that comes up in verse 25 concerns whether virgins should get married or not. He says, "Now concerning virgins, I have no commandment from the Lord, yet I give judgment as one whom the Lord in his mercy has made trustworthy. I suppose, therefore, that this is good because of the present distress, that it is good for a man to remain as he is." Now the question starts out, you think, well, he's talking about unmarried women, perhaps fathers asking this question about whether they should give their daughters in marriage, but as the passage unfolds, you realize that he's also referring to unmarried men. So the question is broader than a specific category. It is really one about singleness and getting married. And as you remember, Paul discourages getting married in this particular case. And that has caused all kinds of difficulties over the years as people have drawn the wrong conclusion, as if Paul is not in favor of marriage. And yet, to draw that conclusion is to disregard so many other things that he has said that make it clear that he is very much in favor of marriage. In fact, he even advises it earlier in this chapter as a normal state, as the condition that the majority of people will enter into and should enter into by the design of God. And so it's a totally erroneous perspective to think that Paul is playing down the advantages and the opportunity, the advisability is the word I'm trying to say here, the advisability of marriage. He is not. But we'll come back to it as I welcome you to this Monday, October 25 edition of the Beacon broadcast, and remind you that we are dependent upon the gifts of God's people to continue this broadcast on this station. Well, as it turns out, and you've already know this if you've been with us previously, but as it turns out, we learn that Paul is talking about a special circumstance, what he calls here this present distress, and that has caused him to advise against marriage in this particular situation, which probably is a time of intense persecution. And there, it doesn't make sense to get married. It doesn't make sense to start a family. It doesn't make sense to have a wife and children to take care of and to protect and to provide for in difficult times like this. And so, marriage itself is not the problem. But Paul is pointing out that marriage involves additional responsibilities and additional burdens that become greater in times of magnified distress. And then he launches out, as you recall from last week, from that perspective to state a number of principles that are much broader than this one individual question, and simply to point out that Christians have a very different perspective on life than the unconverted. The unconverted are generally, well, almost always, focused upon what is most pleasurable, what is most advantageous, what will make me happy today, without much regard beyond today. But Christians look at things from a bigger perspective. Christians evaluate life in light of eternity. And so that drops us all the way down to verse 32. I've just really scanned over the verses that begin with verse 25, and we come down to verse 22. And he says, "But I want you to be without care. He who is unmarried cares for the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he who is married cares about the things of the world, how he may please his wife." There is a difference between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman cares about the things of the Lord, that she may be holy, both in body and in spirit. But she who is married cares about the things of the world, how she may please her husband. "And this I say for your own profit, not that I may put a leash on you, but for what is proper, and that you may serve the Lord without distraction." Now we understand what Paul is talking about. There are some advantages to the single state. There are some additional distractions, I suppose is the right word, that accompany the married state. If you are single, you don't have to spend time and energy and focus on your family. Not that it's dishonoring to the Lord to do that. If you have a family, it is most honoring to the Lord to do that. If a man, Paul tells us in Timothy, 1 Timothy, if a man doesn't take care of his own household, he's denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. So God does not expect unmarried men or unmarried women, he deals with both here, to neglect their homes and their marriages in order to serve the Lord. Not at all. But bigger perspective, when you're thinking ahead about should I get married or should I not, keep in mind that if you choose not to get married, which is your privilege, it's not the norm, it's not what God has designed generally for the human family. If everybody remained single, the whole human race would die out. If all Christians remained single, Christianity would not have a very bright future. So this is not the case for everybody, but it is a consideration for certain people, and particularly if there are extenuating circumstances that make marriage more problematic than it otherwise would. I remember, and I throw this out because I hear people talking the same way today as I'm going to describe some of the things that I remember thinking and even saying when I was still single. That goes back a long time because my wife and I have celebrated our 51st wedding anniversary this year. But I can remember when I was single and considering the prospect of marriage, which I wanted to do very much, but I thought, do I really want to get married, and especially, here was my concern, bring children into this world in the terrible state that it's in today? And I say that because, to me, in the 1960s, I got married in 1970, so this would have been in the late 1960s. To me, the world seemed to be a very unhospitable place for family. Now, I scratch my head when I think about that now, because things, to my perspective today, seem so much better in the 60s than they do today. But I hear people saying something very similar today. I've heard more than one person say, things have gotten so bad in our world today, I don't know if I want to bring children into this world today. And I would say to you, don't be too alarmed about that, because marriage, by God's design, is the appropriate state for the majority of people. And if God gives you a spouse and God gives you children, God will also give you the grace to train them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, regardless of the condition that the world is in. And I have watched that over the years. I got married in 1970. My wife and I had our first child in 1973 and went on to have three more. We had four daughters all together. All of them we managed to train up in a Christian home and with biblical understanding, and they all came to faith in Christ, and they all married Christian husbands, and they're all raising their children in this world today. Successfully, I might say. I'm very proud of the way that I see our daughters raising our grandchildren. It's a joy to behold. And they are managing it very well in a world that, yes, is in many ways more hostile to Christians than the world that I was in when I was considering these questions years ago, decades ago. But God gives grace. So what I'm saying is, if those kinds of questions have entered your mind, don't make that too big a consideration. Most people ought to get married, but if you're not strongly inclined to, then consider the possibility that God may have given you the gift of celibacy. That takes us back earlier in the chapter. It may not be God's will for you to get married. It's not His will for everybody to get married. For the majority, yes, but for everybody, no. And if you remain single, you are going to have many, 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 many more hours in a week to devote to the work of the Lord than somebody who is married. It's as simple as that. And I'm talking about how that Christians evaluate things differently from the world. For an unconverted person, whether I should get married or not get married has to do with, well, number one, my inclinations and desires. Do I want to get married? Do I feel like getting married? Number two, what kind of a financial responsibility will that be? And do I really want to take that responsibility? Or would I rather keep all the money that I earn for myself rather than for a spouse, and particularly for the cost of rearing children and so forth? Those are the kinds of considerations that unconverted people have. Christians have a different perspective, and their whole question is, how does God want me to serve Him? How does God want me to honor Him? That's the question. How can my life best honor the Lord? And ask God to lead and guide you and show you what the answer to that question is in your particular case, and then move forward accordingly. In my case, there's no question in my mind that I serve the Lord better as a married man than a single man. But not everybody comes to that same conclusion. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.